T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Morning show with John and Hugh. Willie P. in for John. You know, you can always get us via the radio.com app. If you missed anything yet, we might have done earlier in the program, or anything up to 24 hours ago, you can use the rewind function part of the radio.com app. Like if you missed Sweet Tea, you can roll back 20 minutes, listen to that. Missed our interview with Ross Dellinger. We'll play replay a portion of for you here pretty soon. That was at 8:20. And anything else that we might have talked about, including our NFL headlines, Atlanta United, and the Braves, it's all for you on the radio.com app. We'll talk a little bit more about the Braves signing Yasiel Puig and what it means for their team in about 20 minutes' time when Joe Patrick joins us, our Atlanta Braves insider, also a member of the Batter Up podcast on radio.com. Be sure to download and subscribe. This little nugget at the end of our conversation, Hugh, with Ross, I'll replay it for you right here. This is something we were asking him about spring football, and he said that the SEC doesn't really seem like that's personally on the table.
I can tell you that is a certainly a last resort for many, just from the SEC's standpoint. I can tell you a little more detail that is absolutely a fallback and in the absolute last resort. They're going to try to avoid a spring season as much as possible. And that includes, you know, a really short fall season, maybe an 8-game fall season or something like that that starts in October. They would much rather something like that than move things to the spring. But after you get past mid-October or so, it might be difficult, you know, to play a fall season. So they might have to move to the spring. If it's no season or a spring season, I think most would pick the spring season. But a lot of administrators would tell you just outright, you can't have a spring season. There's so much doubt about it and so many problems that I had one SEC assistant AD tell me yesterday, you can't have a spring season. You know, plain and simple, we just can't do it. Now, not everybody will say that, but that tells you how much of an issue that a spring season presents.
That's Ross Dellinger, SI college football columnist. And that kind of hit me a certain way, Hugh, because that almost made it sound similar to what Major League Baseball owners were saying a couple months ago when they were saying they'd rather have no season than a short season. And I'm wondering if there's kind of a similar frame of mind with some other conference ADs and presidents as far as that goes.
Yeah, it probably is, but I think that when you talk about, and I don't know which conferences, I can't think that Alabama, well, I can't think the SEC would be one of them, I should say. Conferences that don't have the money to survive this pandemic. There might be some that are in financial strains in this situation. And you know, they have to play, you know, regardless of what it is, or push it back or whatever it is. But it there's a lot to digest there. It could be potentially because how the roster's going to flip, or it might be selfish reasons that, you know, they feel like they have the roster this year with the returning seniors and everything where they can win it all. Who knows? Who knows what that exactly means? But it just feels to me like they want to play football, they want to get it done, and they want to get it done now because they're in a good position right now.
It's very difficult to decipher what the most likely scenarios are before the college football season. I have to say, if we're looking at on-time start, delayed slash shortened season, or spring, I have to feel like on-time start is a distant third right now, would you say?
I would agree with that. Man, listen, and this is the thing that people need to understand, and this is the thing what really gets me. I'm going to be on my soapbox for a minute, so follow me. But really gets me on Twitter. We don't have all the information when it comes to this COVID-19. We don't. We're gathering it, and we're trying to piece it together as we go. Hence the fact that, you know, we're in this unknown period. That, to me, speaks volumes, because that's what basically football is doing right now. You're trying to hold off to the absolute last minute on the high school level, on the college level, on the pro level, because you're trying to gather as much information as you possibly can about this, because we don't know. We don't know how it's going to affect you for in the long term or anything like that. That's a fact, especially when you're talking about world-class athletes. We don't know how that's going to affect you. So you want to do everything. You want to take every precaution necessary to keep everybody as safe as possible. Just to sit out there and say, oh, yeah, it's cool. It's just it's the same thing as a cold. If it was the same thing as a cold, I don't remember the last time the flu shutting down anything like this has shut anything down. That's a fact. Like, you could tell me all day long that it's the same thing as the flu. When was the last time the flu shut everything down like this?
Spanish flu, like 1918.
Damn, you went way back. You went way back before. But I'm just saying, that's the point. So you could throw numbers and speak of science and all this other stuff and talk about what it's like and all this other stuff. In my lifetime, I've never dealt with anything like this. And for you to sit there and think that everything is hunky-dory and everything is cool, that to me is not – that's not realistic. That's not thinking with common sense. So I think that's what all of this is. Everybody's trying to wait to the absolute last minute, trying to get as much information as they possibly can before they start rolling folks out there and having them play sports, not knowing how it's going to affect them.
I wasn't trying
okay,
to
I'm off my
spot.
Soapbox now.
I wasn't trying to blow up your spot there.
No, I'm just saying. I mean, it just blows my mind how that right there, Will, is common sense. That to me is common sense.
You're absolutely right. And like I said earlier, and I've said over this entire span of about 2 weeks where we've been talking about college football being in this limbo, some football is better than no football. And that's why that particular piece from Ross kind of hit me when he said they'd rather have no football than spring football. Yeah, I don't want to see the junior seasons of guys like Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, and the final season of Georgia's Jamie Newman compromised. I don't want to see that happen. I don't want to see those guys have those opportunities for us to see them play one last time taken away from them. But at the same time, if you gave me the choice of something over nothing, I'd rather take something. And I also equate that to playing a conference-only season or a shortened season in the fall. Yeah, I'd be mad that we don't get the full boat, but you know, I'm not going to sit here like Oliver Twist and say, excuse me, sir, do I want some more?
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things where we're trying to figure this out as we go. And I can't stress that enough. And in a perfect world, we would definitely try to get this season played. But the more and more we do this, I think that a lot of the reasons why we haven't come to a conclusion yet is because we don't know how this is going to affect everybody. And I think that's what everybody's trying to wait on. We're trying to wait on those numbers. That's the thing that I think mostly is that we're trying to wait on those numbers and see how the spike has affected everybody.
It is the Morning Show with John Hugh. Willie P in for John on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You can follow us on social media at Willie P Style, at Big Hugh 53, and at 92.9 The Game. We asked you earlier in the morning about the signing of Yasiel Puig, or at least the reported signing of Yasiel Puig. We still haven't gotten a confirmation yet from the Braves on that. How do you think the Braves are planning to use Puig this season? Full-time DH, half DH, half outfield, or starting outfielder and move Marcelo Zuna DH? 59% of you who voted on our Twitter poll at 929 The Game believe that he is going to split time at the DH position and split time in the outfield, because if you think about Puig, he still can field. Now, he might not be able to play center as much as he did earlier in his career, but he probably could still fill that void. And I know I'd much rather see his bat in the lineup than Ender Inciarte. Like, if it's a situation where you have him in the lineup and you can put another person at DH, like an Austin Riley or something like that, I think it's a great way to make sure that his bat stays in the lineup and that lineup stays as long as it possibly can be.
Yeah, I mean, but the biggest question with Puig is, number one, is, you know, the question of whether or not he's going to be a problem child. And if we could keep him I don't want to say reined in because that just sounds kind of bad, but just maintain his focus and get that production that you got out of him last year. 25 home runs, I'll take that. 25 to 30 home runs here in a 60 game. Well, that's kind of high for 60 games. So I'll say about 12, 15 for his service and potentially being in a position where, you know, with Nick Markakis, we don't know what's going to happen with him if he's done being a Brave and having that guy, you know, on the roster for an extended period of time. I'll take that.
You inadvertently alluded to Yasiel's nickname when you said reined in. You realize that? Because his nickname is the Wild Horse.
Oh, okay, yeah. He's definitely that. He's definitely that.
I'm just saying, that's the thing.
Hey, Atlanta, I see you soon, baby.
Boy, you know what? I'm just glad, like, seriously. Because the first thing, and this is a full transparency moment right here. I was like, man, with him being here, I'm just glad the strip clubs are not open. Like,
I know, you said that earlier.
I'm just glad they're not. Because, boy, they've seen many a man fall in love at the strip club. Like, for real. Like, and seeing him in this city and the cornucopia of beautiful people that we have here, that probably would be a problem.
Was that you who was telling me that when he showed up in L.A. for the first time, he showed up with
it was something
one on each
weird.
Arm?
I remember this. I remember the story. It was like he had, like, after he got paid, he was, like, in one of those little, I can't remember what they call them, the trikes, the little trike, and he had two stunners on his arm. So, yeah, I do remember a story. It was something vaguely like that. Yeah, remember that story.
I find that funny. I find that funny. But I will say this. It does strike a lot of Braves fans. I don't want to say in a negative way, but, I mean, we have Jeff Schultz this morning from The Athletic asking if the risk is worth it. And not to speak directly to Jeff, but to other Braves fans and say, you know, who does this hurt? Show me where this hurts you. This does not hurt you in any way, shape, or form. He's not going to single-handedly bring down the culture of the Braves organization on his lonesome. They're not asking him to do a whole lot. He might not, quote-unquote, fit when it comes to having the kind of veteran leadership you might want around him to kind of have the policing of the clubhouse, so to speak. But, like I said earlier, he also had to choose the Braves. Like, he also had to be here. And I think he's at the point right now where he's played for three teams in the span of the last 2 years, three different teams. I think this is a come-to-Jesus type moment for Puig because he knows he's getting signed on a pretty, I would say, relatively cheap deal for 1 year. This is a prove-it type situation for him. I'd like to think he's going to be on his best behavior because if it's not, it's his behind, not ours, right?
Yeah, I mean, and I think that, you know, I know that this is still pending a physical and everything. The numbers haven't come out, but you would think that this would be a situation where, you know, you have to look at it for what it could possibly be, and that's basically a second chance.
Man who hosts the Braves podcast, does all of our Braves stuff online, and is a... I really haven't asked him necessarily about how he feels about this. I'm curious to know how Joe Patrick, our Braves insider, feels about the Yasiel Puig signing. He'll give us his answer, and you'll hear it next. It's the Morning Show with John and Hugh. Willie P. in for John. It is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, on the air and on radio.com.
No one keeps you up to date like we can. We're covering what matters here, locally in the world of sports. For continuing updates, keep it here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey, Atlanta, I see you soon, baby.
Morning Show with John and Hugh. That's between that and John's outburst at the microphone, I can't get enough of either of those things.
Yeah, that outburst was something that you know what? Like you say, like, it's like I don't even know you. Like that one with John Frickie, that was pretty funny. I didn't even expect that. That was pretty funny.
I've never seen this cam before.
Yeah, what it's like I don't even know who you are.
Left me to die. Joe Patrick is on the WaitForIt.com hotline. He is our Braves insider. He also is part of the triumvirate that hosts the Batter Up podcast, along with Caleb Johnson and some other schlub who else is on there. What's going on, Joe? How are you, pal?
You're selling yourself short there, Willie P. What's going on, guys? Good morning.
Good morning, good morning. So let's just jump right into it. What role can you potentially see Yasiel Puig playing if he passes the physical here with the Atlanta Braves?
I think he's got the potential to be, you know, an everyday starter for the Braves, and he brings a vitally important, necessary need for this team right now, which is some power and some hitting ability off right-handed pitchers. Of course, there are some guys that can hit righties decent enough in the lineup right now, but when you're losing Freddie Freeman, when you've got Nick Markakis opting out of the season, those are your two of your bigger left-handed bats. And while Yasiel Puig obviously isn't left-handed, he does have he's one of those weird reverse split guys where he just hits right-handers way better than he does left-handers. If you look at his career, I think he's got 130-something homers in his career, and about 100 of them of those homers have been off right-handed pitching. So he fills a very, you know, a need that the team had, a very specific need. And so from here, he could be a starter. He could, maybe if he doesn't impress or takes him a little bit slower to get ramped up, he could be a guy who comes off the bench. He could be a DH. He could play mainly in right field, but he could theoretically play in any of the outfield positions or at least in the corner positions. So I think he's pretty versatile. You can use him in several different ways, and I think he's going to help this ball club.
Joe, I know you had said that maybe a guy like Austin Riley would have to be a candidate if he'd somebody in a more of a utility role. Do you envision that same thing for Yasiel Puig? Do you see him being kind of halvesies DH, halvesies outfielder, or do you think he might take one or both of the roles?
Well, judged by what Brian Snicker, the way he's been talking about with regards to the DH, I definitely get the sense that we are not going to see one guy on this team be the DH. I think that we are going to see the DH used in a strategic way where you just kind of share it around every day and kind of give it to somebody else to give them a break. I mean, this schedule is no joke for the Braves, especially at the beginning. It's so tough when you start the season with 20 consecutive games after this short summer camp that is not your normal spring training. It's going to be difficult for these guys. They've got to get themselves worked up into game shape. In fact, they spent the first, 5 days or so, the first several days at least, of this camp, not even doing much baseball stuff, but just getting their bodies ready, just trying to physically get themselves ready to go for this season. So I don't really think you can have too much depth. And before on our podcast, Will, I've been talking about potentially Christian Pache being with this team. I really think you can have, there's no shortage of depth that you can have. And as it regards to Austin Riley, it's interesting. Brian Snicker seems to be considering him as a third baseman along with Johan Camargo. And that's, of course, both of their most natural positions. But it is interesting that there doesn't seem to be right now a concrete plan for one of them to be playing in the outfield while the other is playing third base. I think Brian Snicker sees both of them as third basemen, and they're just going to, again, you got the depth there. They might just rotate in and out of that position every so often and kind of platoon it.
You know, there's been a lot that has been made about Yasiel Puig's demeanor, I should say. Mm-hmm. Do you think that could potentially be an issue here with this team?
When you have a track record like he does, of course that's something that should be on the radar of Alex Anthopoulos and anyone in the Braves organization who wants to make this decision to sign him as a free agent. And from my perspective, just like in my personal opinion, I think you just got to, right now, trust that the front office has scouted the player and done their due diligence. And, they've talked to him. And I think that they have a good understanding of what he's going to bring to the team, both as a player but also as a person. And for me, it's like you're innocent until you're guilty. He needs to prove to me that he is a bad guy before – the other way around. I'm not going to go in assuming that he's going to come in and cause some disruption in the locker room or in the clubhouse. Let's wait to see how it plays out. Let's judge him by, the content of his character before in person, before we kind of judge him based on kind of resume, I guess, or his track record that he's accrued in the past. And listen, he's a guy who has a very different background than any of us can even like really think of. Like, we can't even we don't know what it's like to have been in someone like Yasiel Puig's shoes, where you're fleeing your home country, you're kind of, and then you're thrown into a position where you have millions of dollars. That's a very tough position for a young guy. So I kind of understand why he would have some kind of maturity issues growing up. But I think that at this point in time, we need to just kind of cool it a bit and wait and judge him by what he presents in Atlanta.
Morning show with John and Hugh, Willie P. in for John. We're talking with 92.9 The Game, Braves insider Joe Patrick on the WadeFord.com hotline. Trying to piece together this lineup, Joe, with Puig in it. I have to feel that this has a tremendous impact, especially once you get Freddie Freeman back, on Marcell Ozuna, who's looked better. Did not look good against spring training pitching, but has looked very good in some of these summer camp workouts. How much of an impact does Puig signing have on Ozuna in your mind?
Yeah, he looked good again last night, too. He had a nice hit early in that game. I think that you're looking at Yasiel Puig potentially slotting in right behind Ozuna, potentially in the fifth position. It's going to be, you know, there's going to be some battles for the lineup in terms of who gets slotted where. But I would like to see Puig. I mean, I think it would make sense for him to kind of, you know, Nick Markakis had always been that guy that was in the fifth hole. And Ozuna's going to bat cleanup this year, supposedly. That's what we can presume at this point. And I think it makes sense to have a guy like Puig who can hit righties hitting right behind him. So who knows exactly how Brian Snicker is going to line it up. But again, I think when you look at Puig and what he brings to the table, it's the perfect kind of profile of what you needed in a player in tandem with the circumstances that we find ourselves in this season. So I think that he's going to be, again, like I said earlier, I think he's just going to be a very useful player for Brian Snicker.
We're talking to Joe Patrick, 92.9 The Game, Braves insider, on the WadeFord.com hotline on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. As far as the pitching staff is concerned, Joe, do you think they're a little bit ahead of the curve as far as being stretched out right about now?
I do. In fact, I asked Max Fried that last night after his outing, just kind of trying to ballpark where he is in terms of being stretched out. And he surprisingly to me, he said that, you know, he thought that going that last inning he threw last night was important. He wants to add another to go five innings next time out. And then by his first start of the season, he said he hopes to be able to go six innings, which is kind of like a normal start for a starter like him. So that's impressive to me, and I think that is ahead of schedule. And it just shows how much these guys have been working during this hiatus, you know, while the rest of us were kind of sitting on the couch, maybe gaining the COVID-19. These guys were not doing that. They were a lot of these guys on the Braves roster, especially, were out there working hard, and you could see it. Mike Soroka said he's feeling as good as he's ever felt in his career. Max Fried, again, it looks like he'll be ready to go almost his like full allotment by the time he makes his first start. So that's going to be a huge help for the Braves, because the Braves have lost some of those arms that can go multiple innings with Felix Hernandez. Cole Hamels got some injury issues as well. So they need all the help they can get. And it looks like at least the guys that they had that they were counting on, looks like those guys are going to be in really good shape to start the season.
You circled around it for me, Joe, because you mentioned Fried, you mentioned Soroka, and both those guys have looked solid. Soroka is going to be the opening day starter. That was something that Brian Snicker told us last night, but my concern is the rest of the staff, you know, and not necessarily the bullpen, but, you know, how you fill out those other three rotation spots. And again, I know it's going to be a lot of piggybacking. You might see some opener type stuff. How realistic is that option in your mind? Because it's looking like we don't have very many other guys who I really trust outside of Soroka and Fried right now to start a game.
Yeah, the opener thing, we talked about this on Batter Up, so I would recommend anybody go subscribe and listen to that episode that we just put out yesterday that talks about the opener. And it is an interesting thing to theorize, and I think that right now you're looking at a situation where it makes more sense than ever to use that kind of a thing, where instead of a closer who comes in to pitch the last inning of every game, you have an opener who essentially pitches, or one or two guys who pitch the first inning of every game. And the interesting thing about an opener is you still need that pitcher to be very good and effective, because they're going to be going up against the top three guys in the order every time out. So you need to have confidence that they're not going to struggle in those situations. But it is you know, the Braves have options, and especially not only is it something that could make sense in a season like this, but it also makes sense with the Braves right now with, again, like we've talked about with them losing some of these pitchers. So I think it makes sense. I don't think that it will happen. I just think Brian Snicker is a little bit too much of a kind of a conservative or traditionalist manager to go for something like that. But he admitted in a press conference recently that, you know, they discussed it at least in the office. So who knows if that will happen. But I think that the Braves, you know, they have liked what they've seen out of guys like Tucker Davidson, who could really make an impact. Maybe didn't think we would earlier in the season, but he's a guy who could step up and actually provide a lot of production for the Braves. So I think they've got some young arms that have some chances to get themselves in the mix this season that maybe they didn't think they would have, you know, 3 months ago.
Joe Patrick, 99 The Game Braves Insider. Appreciate the time as always. Joe, be safe.
You the man, Joe. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
And also, as I should say, be sure to subscribe and download Batter Up. 30 minutes on the Braves every week we do it. Myself, Joe Patrick, and Caleb Johnson. If you are a baseball fan, it was hard to get content for a while. First 8 to 9 episodes there, Hugh. But
now you got content up the yang yang.
We got Braves, all Braves all the time, and it really is a great way to stay informed on what's going on with the Bravos. We'll come back, kind of reset some of the things we've been talking about, including one of our biggest questions that we've been asking throughout the morning. How has your sports viewing changed as a result of the pandemic? It's all on the way, leading you up to Andy and Randy on the morning show with John and Hugh. Willie P. and for John, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Radio.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.